we listen afresh to your written word. Lead us to your living word. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There's a kind of tenderness in Paul's words to Timothy. The tenderness of a teacher nearing the end of his life, speaking to one he loves like a son. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, he writes, knowing from whom you have learned it. You can almost hear the weariness and affection mingle together. Remember, Paul has been shipwrecked, imprisoned, abandoned, and he's writing to a young man standing at the very beginning of his own ministry. Paul knows the road. He knows what the road ahead will bring. And he does not hide it. The time is coming, he says, when people will not put up with sound teaching, but will gather around them teachers to suit their own desires. It's 2,000 years old, but it could have been written yesterday. It could have been written about people inhabiting echo chambers of all the people they like and agree with on social media. It could have been written about our church. A church universal. Because we all have a tendency to prefer to hear the people telling us we're right than challenging us to think again. Paul's concern is not simply that people will turn away from the truth, but that they will lose their capacity for patient and humble listening. That they will trade the slow and difficult work of spiritual formation for the quick thrill of affirmation. And if you did not realise that the AI technology behind all social media now is doing that to us all the time, feeding us affirmation, not giving us voices that we disagree with, not feeding us any of the worries, even of the person sat next door to us. And if you wanted to really discover how scary that is, compare everything that you see as adverts on Facebook with the person sat next door to you through the next week. Even living in the same household, my husband and I were horrified when we did this. Paul tells Timothy to do two things that are as hard now as they were then. My translation is slightly different than I prepared from, but they were right at the end of the reading in Timothy. So four things that Paul tells Timothy to do. Be steady. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. And carry out your ministry fully. Those four things. And there is something profoundly countercultural about that. In a world that prizes success, big flashy results now, the church that is growing, the social media posts going viral, Paul's advice is that we should be faithful. We should be thorough, and we should stick with it. Seems a bit like underwhelming advice, really. He tells Timothy and us to keep doing the job we've been doing, the job we've been given to do, even when no one is watching, even when it feels like the world is listening to other voices. Continue in what you have learned. And it does sound gentle, but I think it's a call to a kind of holy stubbornness, a perseverance of faith rooted not in certainty but in relationship, knowing from whom you learned it, Paul says. Paul's concern is not just about doctrinal correctness. It's about living a life that's formed by those who went before us in faith. It's about a witness of lives that taught us how to believe. I don't know who those people are for you, but maybe you take a moment now to remember from whom you have learned the faith. Maybe parents, teachers, friends, saints. We hold to our course not because we've learned the right phrases and ideas, but because we've seen it lived. And we're committed to following in the footsteps of those who went before us, because in them we see a pattern of how to aspire to be as Christ. And at the heart of that truth is Scripture itself. All Scripture, Paul writes, and I think in the section that we didn't read out, is inspired by God and useful for teaching, reproof, we did read it, correction and training in righteousness. The word inspired, if you didn't know, theopneustos means God breathed. So all scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. That same breath that stirred the waters at creation, that entered the dust of Adam, that filled the lungs of Christ in the tomb, that is the breath that animates the word. When we open Scripture, we're not just reading an ancient text. We're inhaling the breath of the Creator God. Reading Scripture is something that should be transformative. We are being formed, corrected, healed, renewed, until our lives begin to echo the rhythm of that divine speech. And yet, the word of God does not flatter us. It does not simply tell us what we want to hear. It confronts. It unsettles. It unmasks our comfortable illusions. And perhaps that is what faithfulness looks like in our age, in our generation. Not loud certainty, but quiet endurance. Not triumph. I've missed a page, so I don't make sense, I'm sorry. So I'm going to remind you that the Word of God doesn't flatter us. It does not simply tell us what we want to hear. It confronts, unsettles, unmasks. I don't know about you, but I really do experience that when I read the Word of God. I do experience God prodding me and nudging me, sometimes speaking beautifully into my life in a way that is perhaps me reading too much into it and allowing it to flatter me when it's not really. Scripture speaks a truth that calls us to holiness. And that's a kind of, there is a transformation in that, but it's not a moral perfection. Being called to holiness is not being called to moral perfection. This side of heaven, of the kingdom, we will not attain that. But what we are called to is to belong wholly to God. So Paul's vision of ministry is not glamorous. It's not glamorous. It's not about success. It's not about recognition. It's about steadiness, staying at the task when the applause dies down, keeping the flame alive when the oil runs low. T. 'Tis in a sense the same persistence we find in the gospel reading. The widow who keeps coming before the judge, her persistence in prayer is the living out, I think, of what Paul is commanding Timothy to do, to continue, to endure, to keep faith when others fall away. Both passages describe what it means to live between a promise and fulfilment. To inhabit that long stretch of time where God's justice and truth are already sown, but not yet seen in full bloom. Paul's charge to Timothy, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favourable or unfavourable, is a charge to us too. To proclaim even when the world is tired of listening. To keep the scriptures alive in our mouths and hearts. To trust that word, the word of scripture, still breathes, still brings life, even when the soil feels hard. And perhaps that's what faithfulness looks like in our age. Not loud certainty, but quiet endurance. Not triumph, but trust. The courage to keep reading, to keep preaching, to keep praying. To hold fast to the God who has first held fast to us. Because at its heart, the Christian life is not about achievement. It is actually about faithfulness. The life we have been called to is about faithfulness. And about turning again and again and again toward the one who has spoken, finding that his word still speaks and still breathes and still calls us on. So you're entering into a new phase of mission and ministry together. That will bring lots of change. There'll be some storming and norming. New people coming into our church communities all the time make that a normal pattern of community life, reforming, transforming, making room and space for the new. Continue in what you have learned. Let scripture shape you. Let prayer sustain you. And when the Son of Man comes, as Luke's Gospel reminds us, may he find faith among us, a faith that has endured, a faith that still listens, a faith that has learned to wait and to trust. For the word we proclaim is the word of the living God. And the God who breathed it will not forget his promise. Let us pray. Lord God, you breathed your word into our hearts. Keep us steadfast in what we have learned, patient in prayer, and faithful in season and out of season. Strengthen us to proclaim your truth with love, to seek your justice without losing heart, and to wait with hope for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.